Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
But we want to get right to our first guest. Mayor Mitch Landrieu was sworn in as the 61st mayor of New Orleans on May 3rd, 2010. Prior to becoming mayor, Landrieu served as Louisiana's lieutenant governor for 6 years. And as lieutenant governor, he was the second in command in the state's Emergency Operations Center for Hurricane Katrina. We should also mention that Landrieu was educated at Jesuit High School of New Orleans and earned a law degree from Loyola University. Mayor Landrieu, we're very happy to have you.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. I know that you're super busy this week, but we thought perhaps you...
And if I make any mistakes, just blame the Jesuits.
There's a 400-year tradition of that, Mayor.
Well, at least we got a Pope.
Well, you went to Catholic University, too, so we can make the...
I did go to Catholic University.
We can give them a shout-out as well. Well, Mayor, we thought we could begin by perhaps, maybe you can just, you know, of course, all of us remember what happened, Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago, but our memories may be fading a little bit. Of course, you were there. Maybe you can just bring us back and describe what happened in those days in August of 2005.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity. 10 years ago, Katrina hit us. It was maybe one of this nation's most catastrophic events. It was so incredible that it's hard to grasp the breadth and the depth of the damage that took place. We lost 1,800 American citizens. 1 billion homes were hurt. 250,000 were destroyed. The city of New Orleans sat under water for 3 to 4 weeks, 80% of the city. Just a huge, huge, huge event that pretty much destroyed everything that was in the city and along the Gulf Coast as well. And it was shortly thereafter, you know, people drowned. I mean, we basically lost everything. And, of course, many of our people migrated to 32 states around the country where people took us in. They clothed us. They fed us. They got our kids in schools. And so this week is designed to do a couple of things. Of course, remember all the lives that were lost and the incredible consequences and suffering that we had as a result of it. The second is to do... something that I think it's important for the people of New Orleans to do, to have a grateful heart and to thank the people of the nation and the people of the world for reaching down in our darkest hour and helping us out. And then really to kind of look forward in terms of where the city's going, because our 300th anniversary is coming up in a couple of years. And we want to make sure that we take this tragedy and turn it into a larger triumph than we've already turned it into. I mean, it's a great story of resurrection and redemption and a great story of people coming together and helping each other out. We've made tremendous progress. However, we still have a long way to go. We're not finished yet, and we don't want to leave anybody behind.
Well, I wonder, Mayor, whether you could tell us a little bit about the story of that Renaissance. I myself went down in summer 2006 and you know, was gutting houses with Catholic Charities for a couple of months, which was the hardest work I ever did in my life. And,
right. Well, thank you for that.
And then I returned just about 2 years ago, and I mean, it was amazing to see the progress that had been made. But I wonder if you could let our listeners know just, you know, where we've come from since then.
Well, I thank you for that. If you were down here in 2006, you know that it was desolate. I mean, yeah. It was just strange. It was just brown. It was dark. Everything was broken. Houses had to be gutted. And you literally did the work with your hands. And, you know, people driven by faith from all over the world came down and really helped us out. Last night, I met with the young lady that runs the National Center for Community Service for President Obama, and said that 40,000 volunteers from just that particular center came down, and we've had hundreds of thousands. So it's been a great story of people helping each other up.
Right.
And as a consequence of that, one of the things that the people of New Orleans did that I think is so miraculous is that instead of following that really powerful urge just to kind of get back to where you were the night before the storm, we did a lot of soul searching down here and said, you know, we weren't perfect before the storm.
Right.
That and we remembered that in 1960 we had 680,000 people in the city, and the night before the storm we had 460. So we had lost 200,000 people in the city over those many years, and we've had problems with housing, with crime, with racism, you know, with economic justice, all the same kind of things that every major American in the city dealt with. And we took a minute and said, well, why don't we take this moment as a responsibility to build it back, not the way it was, but the way we always dreamed it could be. And so we got about using the money that we had to completely restructure our education system. We used the federal money to physically rebuild every school. So the old neighborhood school that got hurt before the storm, it started, you know, kind of fixing the cracks. We tore it down, and we built brand new 21st century school buildings for our kids in the city, and have restructured our education system. The second thing we did was look at our healthcare, you know, system wasn't in great shape. The least among us were not able to get preventative care. Mamas were sitting in, you know, emergency rooms of big centralized hospitals for 13 hours if their kids had earaches. Now we have primary health care clinics strewn throughout the city of New Orleans so that, that we can make sure that everybody has preventative health care. So women now that didn't have access to mammograms, didn't have access to early detection for things like that, working on diabetes, now have access to that. We've rebuilt the levee system to give a stronger protection than we had before the storm, although it's not nearly as strong as we want it. And we have gone through every institution. And then finally, the most important thing that we've done is we've learned how to get along better. And the things that are working here are working because we have at the table the faith-based community, the not-for-profit community, the government. The Archbishop down here, Gregory Amon, is my dear friend. He is a spectacular leader. And every time that we have issues, we always working together shoulder to shoulder. And that new way of getting stuff done is producing a better result. Now listen, as the Pope has admonished all of us, we have to continue to stay focused on the poor. Right. I had the great joy of being with him a couple of months ago in Rome where he talked about climate change and he talked about the impact on poor neighborhoods. We have a high level of poverty still across the entire South, everywhere in the country, but particularly in New Orleans as well. And as we go forward, part of our responsibility is making sure that everybody comes along, and we're going to do that as well.
Well, maybe we can talk more about that, Mayor, in terms of how we can, how you folks have been reaching out to the poor, specifically like public housing, for example. That's one area where here was an opportunity to revisit the public housing structure to provide kind of better housing for your residents.
Well, I appreciate that question. Before, look, this is New Orleans is very much like every other major American city. You know, we had very dense, high-rise, what people used to refer to as the projects.
Right.
And they were called the Big Four here. And we took this as an opportunity to rebuild them. They're completely restructured. They're rebuilt. They're decentralized. We now have mixed-income folks living with poor folks. We integrated neighborhoods. We made sure that there were early childhood education services, enrichment programs in the afternoon. And now what we have is a large number of areas where we have access to housing. Now, we like everywhere else, the need outstrips the supply, and we have to keep working really hard. On the issue of homelessness, we had like 11,500 homeless people after Katrina. We've reduced that by 85% and really functionally eliminated homelessness for veterans in the city. But 2,000 people are still on the streets of the city of New Orleans. So even though we've made tremendous progress, again, you know, Katrina and Rita did not cause all of our problems.
Right.
I will say this to the people of the nation, that New Orleans is a mirror of the United States of America. The things that we're doing down here that are good, we helped borrow from other cities and we're doing well, but we also have tremendous problems with race, with income inequality, with poverty, economic opportunity. All of those things are things that we really have to think through as a nation, and I'm hoping that during this presidential race, you know, the folks that are running for president will address the issues of how we're going to better help lift up the poor.
And what are some of the things that your administration has been doing to kind of help to have that conversation where you are? And
well, we know, first of all, we always talk about it because we think it's really important. But just on a specific level, for example, in the city of New Orleans, although I can't order this for the private sector in New Orleans because the legislature prohibits it, I can do it in the city of New Orleans. We've raised the minimum wage for all city employees. I've also instructed every contractor that's doing any kind of public work for the city of New Orleans to pay people a living wage. We also have issued mandatory paternal leave and maternal leave policies so that families can be together when they have a mother or a father that's sick or whether they're bringing a child into the world. We've really worked hard on investing in our recreation department so our kids have things to do in the afternoon. And we continue to work on racial reconciliation through something that we call the welcome table, where we are putting people that don't look alike, that don't know each other, that come from different economic stratas at the table so they can speak and work through the issues of race that unfortunately keep a lot of us in America still apart.
And it's interesting, you know, that so much of this should come out of the experience of Katrina. I remember when I was there, and you would show up at some makeshift place, and you'd organize a team, and everybody was there because they wanted to help. But you know, it was young, it was old. They were Christians, they were Catholics, they were Protestants. Some of them were atheists. Some people were from abroad. Some people were black. Some people were white. Some people were Mexican. But what brought you together was this common project, and it's interesting to see that spirit has sustained throughout this recovery.
You know, one of the most, again, this was there's no way to say it other than the fact this was a catastrophic, tragic event that you would never ever wish to occur again. But right. But as human nature would have it, and as the world is, out of tragedy comes beautiful things. You know, the flood came in with water, but as soon as it left, a flood of people, goodwill. And it was amazing because all of a sudden, when everybody was in danger of losing either life, property, or the future, people put down their differences. It was astounding to actually see all of a sudden all of the barriers went away because we were literally in the same boat, and many of us were in the water. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch people put down all of the things that kind of keep us apart when we start being petty again and small-minded and taking for granted the things that we have. And the reason it's important to remember that is if because we were able to come together once and create really great things out of difficulty, we can do it again. And so that's why I'm so optimistic. People say, well, you know, Mitch says everything's great and nuanced. No, I didn't say that. What I said was we have really taken on this huge responsibility and done spectacular things with it. We have made great progress, but it's how you do it going forward that matters. Because if we did it once together, don't let all of our petty differences when we fall back in just to the mundane day of life, you know, regular days, or the dog days of summer, fall back into that pettiness that kept us from doing all those great things when we were together.
Now, Mayor, you mentioned earlier that, of course, we're remembering the people who died in this disaster, 1,800. We also think about the people who left New Orleans, tens of thousands, moved to other cities like Houston. How are you feeling their loss this 10 years after?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure everybody in the country has an invitation to move to our great city, because I love every other place, but we are the best, and we love that. Secondly, I want to thank everybody in the 32 states that housed all of the folks from New Orleans. Thirdly, I actually traveled last week to Houston and to Atlanta, who have most of the people that left still in this city. A lot of folks are in Atlanta, went to visit with them to tell them that we love them, made sure that they knew that they could come back if they wanted to. Many of those folks, not surprisingly, have found something that they like in Atlanta. And have decided for whatever reason, because of their station in life where their kids are in school, that they are not going to come back to New Orleans at this time. Same thing in Houston. And it was great because not only did I have a chance to share, you know, our thanks with the mayors of each of those respective cities, but we actually had church service on both of those nights, because some of the churches in New Orleans actually now have churches in both cities. And so now there are connections that didn't exist before. So we're having a better relationship with both of those cities and us. And of course, if you think about it, you kind of turn the Northeast on its side, you kind of get that Southern corridor. And Atlanta, New Orleans, and Houston have always been sister cities. And, you know, the one thing I told the folks in Atlanta they could never do is not cheer for the Saints. They have to stay with that. So, you know, they know it and they love it, and they're going to move back and forth from time to time, and hopefully they'll move back here. Now, people in the city of New Orleans get a little bit nervous when folks that are not from here move in, because they say, oh, gee, you know, New Orleans is such an indigenous culture. That's true. And I told them, don't ever worry about that, because there's no chance that a person who moves into New Orleans who's not from here is going to change us before we change them.
That's so true.
That just does not happen in New Orleans.
Yeah. And in thinking about the future, you know, in my own mind, two thoughts, very practical thoughts. One, of course, the levees, which you've already talked about. You know, how is the engineering going? How are we working to literally prevent something like that from happening again? But also then, you know, how have we addressed the failures that occurred at every level of government in the emergency response?
Let me address both of those.
Yeah.
Let me address both of those if I can, because it does require a reorganization of brain matter on hurricane levels. There's something called the Saffir-Simpson model. Mm-hmm. The world will recognize that as Category 1, Category 2, Category 3, 4, 5 storms.
Sure.
That model was designed only to measure wind. It wasn't measured to, it wasn't designed to measure water or storm surge. What we have now learned in terms of the improvement of science is it's storm surge that we have to look after. And so as we're building back, whether New York's doing this with Sandy, as a result of Sandy, or we're doing this here, or we're doing it in Miami, it's the storm surge that you have to pay attention to. And we're building back to what they call either 100-year flood protection, 500-year, 1,000, or 10,000, which is what the Netherlands has. And so in the future, when citizens are listening to their community leaders or to their mayors or governors about whether they should evacuate, they will start hearing about storm surge, because a Category 1 storm that we used to know could actually have what you would know to be a massive storm surge if the storm is moving at a slower pace.
Right.
Because if storms sit over you for a while and they push a surge up, the surges would kind of hit Wall Street. And so as we're thinking about that, what's happening is the Corps of Engineers built something here to protect us against 100-year storm surge or 200. We really need 500. So even though we are in better shape than we were before Katrina, we, and by the way, every coastal area in the United States of America is at risk, and New Orleans isn't even at the top of the list. So in that regard, the nation should learn from New Orleans. Don't think that this is just an isolated event. Sandy indicated to the people on the northeastern coast that it is absolutely not.
Exactly.
And we have to, in this country, be more vigilant. And it gets to the next point, which is that we are much better today than we were post 9/11, post Katrina, of the federal, state, and local government authorities being ready for what we think is coming our way. But here's a danger, too, because New York was preparing for another 9/11, and then Sandy hit.
Right.
And when Sandy hit, they were thinking about water, but then it became an electrical grid problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we're trying to learn with all the governors and the mayors across America, with the White House and everybody else, is how to be prepared for everything and how to be more what they call resilient, which means that as we build back, that we build back stronger and better, we build back smarter, that we also understand that resilience has something to do with social cohesion in the neighborhoods, which means stronger churches, stronger families, stronger communities, better jobs, so that when the thing comes, even if we don't know exactly what it's going to be, and no matter how big it is, we actually have the strength and the plan to not get hurt as badly and to respond more quickly. And we've made some great progress, but at the end of the day, bad things are going to happen. We know that. It's either going to be a terrorist attack, it's going to be an earthquake, it could be heat, it could be electricity, it could be water, it could be a hurricane. And we in the country have to really kind of work hard to stay in communication with each other on the federal, state, and local levels. And by the way, the citizens themselves have got to be ready, be smart, be knowing, and have a plan to respond to those issues as well.
Right, right, right. Because that's what we continue to see. You know, we always tend to be fighting the last battle, right? But
right.
You got to be thinking about, you know, this is a battle. This is a war we're really fighting against disaster, and there are lots of different battles, and you got to be thinking about the next one too, right?
Well, I would just say this generally. First of all, we know climate change is real.
Yep.
Sea rise level is real. In New Orleans, we have the added burden of subsidence. That is, the coast is shrinking. And then, of course, you have other problems. Now, every different region of the nation is got its own challenges. So, again, you've got to prepare for what you know hit you, and then you got to be prepared for what is coming that you may not expect. And your system has to be designed to respond to all of those things. This cannot just be a government issue, though. But the citizens themselves have to be knowledgeable, ready to respond. And, of course, there's got to be good communication and good coordination because, you know, bad things are going to happen. And it's about being strong enough to sustain those, and then it's going to be fast enough to rebuild when you get hurt.
Well, Mayor, we know you're pressed for time, so we're going to let you go. But thanks so much for talking with us today. And please know that you and the people of New Orleans, you're in our prayers, and we're celebrating with you.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. And again, from a grateful city to the nation. Thank you so much for lifting us up and helping us out.
All right. Thank you. Mayor Mitch Landrieu, the City of New Orleans.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.